This is News in No Time at Gordon. On today's roundtable, the third and final discussion in our series about the art and business of African-American music. This week, we talk with individuals who've been on the business and creative side of the music industry and who know all too well about the business of music. With us, rapper, actress, and now author of Just My Take, a book of poetry, MC Light. She joins us now from our New York bureau. From member station KUAR Radio in Little Rock, Arkansas, is Al Bell. During the 70s, Al was literally the man behind the sounds of Stax Records as the label's then owner. Also with us is Bill Darlington, manager of Al Jarreau, who, of course, is a jazz veteran and one friend to this program and who is on the jazz label Verve. And we thank you all for joining us. Greatly appreciated. Al Bell, let me start with you. When you look at music today, particularly the business side of it and the business of music, what's the difference, the biggest difference you see today than what you grew up with?
Well, I grew up in a period where the record labels were primarily owned by independent entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs that had their own music taste. They were basically music buffs and entrepreneurs that looked for unique artists that they appreciated and operated their companies as you would in a small business during that period of time. Today, we have most of our labels owned by conglomerates who bought up those smaller labels, and these conglomerates are part of major public companies, so the attitude and business approach is completely different today from what it was back in my day.
It seems to me also, Al, and I'll ask the other guests this question as well, but it seems to me that back in the day, as we like to call it now, there was a want to, and it wasn't cultivated by anything other than hopes of gaining more money. But still, there seemed to be a want to cultivate a career for an artist versus just making a hit record.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. The artists themselves were career oriented. The records they recognized were really just a support tool or a component that provided advertising that created asset value and name recognition. And the competition was great at that time. You had artists that would really criticize artists and audiences that would criticize the artist if the artist wasn't giving a great performance and if they didn't really reach that audience and cause that audience to respond. So it was a much different environment then than it is now.
Light, let me ask you, conversely, you've grown up in, quite frankly, a different industry. And when you came about the idea of the advent of hip hop, the change of music, and while we've seen criticism, rightly or wrongly, of what that has changed music into, I'm curious how you see it as an artist. Did you get the feeling the people that handled you in the beginning were concerned about growing a career for you?
Absolutely. I think what Al said stands true, and that's in the past, it was about making long careers for artists. It wasn't about a one-hit wonder, not even to the extent of a one-hit wonder. More so, let's just throw it on the wall, see what sticks. If we can get one or two singles out of this cat, that's good, and then we'll be done with them. It's that rule you get wise a little too late. I think I speak for a lot of folks in the hip hop game. Once you truly know the game is when they want you out.
Must I say it again? I said it before. Move out the way when I'm coming through the door. Me, heavy, as light as a rock. Guys watch, even some of the girls pop. Step back, it ain't that type of party. No reply if you ain't somebody. Get out my face, don't want to hear no more. If you hate rejection, don't try to score. First base, you ain't got what it takes. Your smile, your wink, your big fake flake. You're so pathetic, you make my stomach turn. You beg, you borrow, now you have to learn.
You can ask any hip-hop fan. They're not really fans of artists. They're fans of songs. And once that song is old, it's like, oh, well, we're on to the next. And I think it's meant to be like that.
Al, music changes with the times. And with every change, I think those who are in the business, like most things of change in veterans, say, it wasn't as good as the old days. And it seems as though that hip-hop has brought to the fore a number of good things for the artists by way of just dollar to dollar, those who really make it, and the idea of expansion and growing one's career and branching out. The other end of that is, while there is a true hip-hop sound and a culture, if you will, it seems to me, again, and I don't know if this is just romantic reminiscing or not, but places like Stax, like Motown, like Philly International, not only had their own sound, but created their own culture along with it.
Well, that's absolutely correct. But, you know, with each generation, you get that music that's a part of that generation. And from that generation, you have a culture. And it has changed dramatically from the 50s and 60s to the 21st century now. But we focused on developing unique sounds. And we focused on sounds that enhanced or embellished upon what was legitimately and the God-given gift of the artist, as opposed to trying to take the artist and putting the artist in a box. We looked for what was inside that artist and recorded our sound around them. If you listen to Carla Thomas, even though it was Booker T and the MGs playing behind her, you heard Carla Thomas with the Memphis sound, which was different. You heard Rufus Thomas with the Memphis sound, which was different. You heard Sam and Dave with the Memphis sound and the emotions of the Memphis sound.
Hey, boy, we're drifting apart. We keep breaking each other's heart.
So it was diverse because the sound was designed to embrace and enhance what was natural and God-given as far as the artist was concerned.
Light, talk to me a little bit about what people are trying to do now and as they look at the advent of hip-hop becoming a greater muscle in society and really touching many aspects of society that 10 years ago one would have believed impossible. Talk to me about how that has developed, I think, probably as a plus for some.
I think it's very necessary, and it's also great to be on hand. I had a young lady say to me the other day, you know, I'm trying to get into the business, but I can't put my hand on anyone who's been through it to tell me what it is I should or shouldn't do, sort of like a roadmap. And I think that's important to make yourself available to younger folks who are coming into the business so that you can share some of the knowledge that you've had and some of the experiences so that they don't have to go through it. But I think to persevere is most important in teaching young artists that one day they will be done. With you. You know, people ask me, oh, so now you want to go into acting? No, I wanted to act way before I wanted to rap. I saw television way before I heard my first hip-hop record. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important for artists to understand that everyone has their turn. And when it's time for you to move on and create, don't feel as though the doors have been closed on you. Just consider it a new opening and a way for you to take control. When I decided to leave the record label that I was with, I was in hopes of going with Will Smith's record label. And when that didn't happen the way I wanted it to, I spent 3 years with that label and with no release, I decided, you know what, well, let me ask for a release from them before they tell me they're going to release me. And this way I'll be on my toes and ready to go. And I decided to put out a record myself. And that record I put out myself, I was nominated for a Grammy. I was nominated for a BET award. I got it placed on, you know, video games and soundtracks. And I was able to do just as much. And it was great because I didn't have a major record label telling me no, or we want half of it, or we want this in order for you to do that. And it just felt good to be liberated and independent. So I just want anyone who's listening to feel as though if you can't get into bed with a major, to not think it's the end of the world, to spread your wings and make it happen for yourself.
Hey, Bill, let me ask you this, whether you believe this to be the case. As immensely talented as Al Jarreau is, do you believe that Al Jarreau had he started today, would he have been able to sustain the career he has now?
I would hope so because of his talent, but I think it's much harder. Those companies, you know, that created artists and sound helped develop the talent, I think, and I think that's lacking now.
Talk to me about what you have done with Al Jarreau and others in terms of managing a career. I mean, here's a man who for, I would guess now, close to three decades, has sustained a magnificent career. Talk to me about the pitfalls and what you've had to do to keep Al Jarreau viable in what many see as a shark-infested business.
The music industry has changed drastically. I mean, it used to be much more about the artist and long-term career. I mean, obviously with Al, that we've always thought about long-term careers, and records is only part of his his life. I mean, live performances is really what sustained Al's career through the years worldwide.
And we never want to lose it. It is like a favorite song we love to sing. Well, every time we hear the music, hey, I tell you, we in this love together. We got kind and fast of liver. Are you singing? Get sweeter off the top.
I mean, I think it's going to get back, hopefully, to what it used to be like when Stax, which is one of my favorite labels in the whole world, made music, because every record they made was amazing and important and all that. And it was, I think it was all about the music. And hopefully, it'll get back to the entrepreneurship of music again. And be a little less corporate, because it definitely isn't working now.
And the reason that I raise Al is that he is so unique in that he does not fit the cookie cutter mold of what we see. And it seems to me you hear the same 10 songs all across the country. It used to be regional, where you'd go down south and you'd hear a particular song that you didn't hear if you lived in Chicago or L.A. So with everything being so cookie cutter, if you don't fit that mold, it's almost impossible to break into the industry.
Yeah, I think radio has become more like a television, where it's a national format, like you're saying, and everything. Some things that work in Memphis probably wouldn't work well in Los Angeles or New York City. So I think they sort of, you know, homogenized the flavor of radio a little bit, and it's taken away from some of the artists, I think.
Hey, Light, let me ask you this. When you look back at the success you had, I mean, there was a time where you were immensely popular, arguably the most popular at the time, a female rapper during your biggest days. Do you look back now with any, and I'll just use the word anger, that perhaps your career, because of the business, not the talent, but because of the business, can't sustain itself musically the way someone like an Aretha Franklin or a Gladys Knight or a Chaka Khan has been able to?
Well, I don't really look at it like that. I still perform, and when I perform, it's the older songs that they love the most. I feel as though I still have something to offer, and my fans feel the same way. Just because someone is not on the cover of the hottest magazine doesn't mean they don't have something fresh and innovative to say. And vice versa, just because they're on there doesn't mean they have something fresh and innovative to say.
Hey, Al, let me ask you in relation to all that you've been involved with. When you look at the state of musicianship today, the state of music today, there's been a lot of criticism. I'm wondering what you see.
Well, the problem that you have in developing new artists or unique artists is that the record labels today are major corporations that work with a business model that says, if we release X amount of records per year, and we sell X percent of those releases sell, then we'll reach our financial projections for the year, satisfy our stockholders, and Wall Street will appreciate what we've accomplished. That means then that they set up X amount of releases per quarter, so that by the end of the fourth quarter, they will have released the number of releases that they projected for that year. Mm-hmm. That also means then that when the first quarter releases are released, those records get about 8 weeks of attention, and then they're looking toward the release of the second quarter releases and so forth and so on. So it's difficult in that kind of business model to generate the unique talent. They don't have time to do that anymore. It has to be another one like the other one, something that appeals to the general market that they can mass merchandise and on to the next one.
Well, Al Bell and Bill Darlington, we thank you very much for joining us. And MC Light, lest we feel too sorry for you, young lady, you are still doing a whole lot of things out there. Tell us real quick about the home accessory line you have.
I may come in strong, but that's what you like. Oh, goodness. Well, a company called Cultural Hangups approached me last year on the Pantene Total U Tour and said we want to develop a line that's inspired by a hip-hop veteran, legend, whatever, you know, lots of labels. I was like, hey, I've always dreamed of something like that. It's called the Lana Moore Collection, which is actually my legal birth name. And we hit in the fall.
All right. Well, and you also have, as we mentioned, a book of poetry, Just My Take. And this Saturday in New York, if you're tooling around Brooklyn, you can find MC at a book signing at the Nubian Heritage Bookstore. And we thank you, young lady, for joining us as well.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Beep-bop Stetzer. Never turn it down, cause it's what you require.